So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. And the title of my message is Deeper Lessons in Faith. We've been looking at faith this year. And we started the year looking at faith. And this morning, I'd love us to go a bit deeper as we look at the life of Abraham and what happened to Abraham. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your word again this morning. We love your word. And we pray that you'd speak to us through your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to pick up in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. And then if you go to verse 8, to Abraham, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that had foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah, his wife herself, received power to conceive, even though she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, was born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. And then just slip down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And then if you quickly can go with me to Genesis 22, we just want to read that account in Genesis 22, that's in the front of your Bibles, Genesis 22, and it says from verse 1, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. And then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they went together. And Isaac said to his father, father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And so they went together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. Amen. Amen. And so friends, as we come to this passage, we've been talking about faith. And we're saying that faith is believing God. That's what faith is. It's trusting God. It's believing God. We're looking at the series, Trusting God in Our Generation. And it's really a topic we need desperately in these days because we face a few challenges, don't we? We face a few challenges as Christians and living in this world. And we need faith to help us to make it through. And so the writer to the Hebrews, as we've said already, is writing to encourage people not to shrink back, but to keep trusting God and to lay hold of the things that God has for us. And so you'll find in Hebrews chapter 11, these great heroes of the faith, it's not talking about how they got saved. It's not talking about initial faith, but it's talking about their works of faith, the things they went on to achieve for the Lord as they trusted in the Lord. And if you look at this list, you'll find some of them, like Samson and others, they had weaknesses, they had flaws in their character, but because they trusted the Lord, God used them. Can you say amen? And so the writer to the Hebrews saying, we need to keep doing that as well, and we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so we need to live by faith, and faith is really keeping your eyes on a person, on Jesus, watching him, listening to him, following him. And as you do that, you'll find he will pull you through the race that we are meant to run together and individually as well. God wants us to live by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because God loves faith. God's chosen faith as the thing that he wants us to exercise in pleasing him. Because faith is really a quality you can't boast about. You can't say, I've got great faith, because even the faith we have, God gives to us as a gift. And so faith is really a receiving grace. As Luther said, we're like a beggar holding our hand out to receive things from God. But as we trust in him, he blesses us and he rewards us. And as we walk with him. And so faith is just so important. And unbelief, on the other hand, is really an insult to God, where we don't trust in his power and we don't trust in his provision. And I know at times we all struggle with our faith, you know, and how are we going to make it? And Lee was doing this course, and I'm sure his faith was challenged and tested as he began this training. And so we need to put our faith into action. We need to trust the Lord with our faith. And you will find that every sin you commit, every time that you displease the Lord, it's actually because unbelief has come in somewhere. And you're relying on other things instead of trusting in Jesus. And so this thing of faith is an ongoing thing in our lives. And we see that God rewards those who trust him. And so this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to look at Abraham, this great hero in the Bible. He was called a friend of God. He was the only one in the Bible called a friend of God. And he's also the greatest figure in the Bible after Jesus. Three of the world's faiths look to Abraham as their father in the faith. So Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims look to this man, Abraham, as the founder of their faith as well. And so he's a pretty unique guy. He made mistakes, but he was made great because of the call of God upon his life. He was a moon worshiper, and one day God just stepped into his life and said, Abraham, I'm calling you. I want you to follow me. And he went. He didn't know where he was going. He got his family together, and he followed the Lord because there was a call of God on his life. And that's what happens to us as well, isn't it? When we get saved, there's a call of God on our lives. God says, I'm calling you. And he rescues us, and he picks us out of the dominion of darkness, and he puts us into the kingdom of his son, and we begin to follow him. And we see this is what happened with Abraham. He wasn't called because he was qualified, but he became qualified because he was called. Hallelujah. And so it all starts by the grace of God. And when God calls us in this way, friends, it's not just a call to salvation, but it's a call to mission, it's a call to follow him, and it's a call to impact the nations. And so God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and through you, the nations are going to be impacted through your faith and through the blessing that's come to you. And so Abraham is really a model. This is my introduction still. Abraham is a model of saving faith. The Bible says he believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. God says, I love your faith. And he was saved through faith. He's also a model of freedom from the law. He followed God before the law was even given. He was before Moses. He's also a model of radical obedience as he kept believing God and trusting God. And God kept blessing him as well as he followed the Lord. And he's also a model of hearing God's voice. He didn't have the Bible. Abraham didn't have the Bible. He didn't go to church and hear preaching every Sunday. He just heard God's voice. And as he heard God's voice, he followed God and God led him. Hallelujah. And so he's a radical. He's a radical man, and Paul uses him as an example of the lives we meant to live in faith. But today I want to talk to you about tests of faith. When we go through tests, when we go through trials, when we go through challenges. How many of you have been through a few challenges in the last 12 months? Just put your hands up. I won't look. How many of you have been through a few challenges? And so this passage hopefully will help you. And hopefully it's going to be a word of encouragement for you as well. Because you see, Abraham followed the Lord. He was saved by faith. He followed the Lord. And then his wife Sarah wasn't able to have children. And he kept believing. He detoured a bit with Hagar, his servant. But then he came back on track again. And even his mistakes didn't disqualify him. And eventually Sarah became pregnant. And Isaac was born. And so he was saved. He was blessed. Just as we are in the Christian life. God's blessing him and he's walking with God. And now we come to this passage here in Genesis 22. It's about 25 years later. He's been walking with God for about 25 years. And God tests him. The Bible says God tests Abraham. He says to him, Abraham, I want you to take your son, Isaac, the one you love more than your own life, the one you've waited years and years with, this child of promise, I want you to take him and I want you to sacrifice him to me. I want you to give him up. I want you to put an end to his life. And so Abraham is severely tested. God puts his finger on this child that he loves. And just to let you know, God's not into child sacrifice. Angel stops Abraham. It was a test. And we know that as we read the Bible. But Abraham didn't know that. Abraham didn't know that. And so the Bible tells us that he obeyed immediately. He wakes up the next morning. He's a bit disorientated. He gets his donkey ready. And then he goes and chops the wood. He's obedient straight away. And he travels for 3 days with his son Isaac. His son Isaac's about 10 to 15 years old. And Isaac's carrying the wood. And they've got the fire there to carry the fire in a little fire chest. They didn't have big lighters in those days. And they're off to the place of sacrifice. And can you imagine, just think about it. Can you imagine what's going through Isaac's heart and mind as he walks? Those must have been the longest 3 days of his life. And he's walking along like this and God says, I'll show you where you're going to go. And he's actually pointing him to Jerusalem. He's pointing him to the mountain that Jesus is later going to be crucified on, because this whole thing is a picture of what's going to happen to Jesus. It's a prophetic picture. And he's walking for 3 days. He's walking and he's, oh God, I don't understand this. This is my son, God promised. We've waited years and he's just being faithful and he's walking. And then Isaac says to him, he says, Dad, can I ask you? We've got the wood. We've got the fire. Where's the sacrifice, Dad? It's difficult when your family sometimes ask you questions and you don't know the answers yourself. Where's the money coming from this month? Or how are we going to make it through? What does the future hold? And so we find that this was probably one of the most severest tests anyone can go through. Jewish scholars call this famous passage the Akedah, the binding, where we had to bind Isaac on. And Isaac didn't argue. Isaac was submissive to his dad. This personal test for Abraham, but it was also a spiritual test. Abraham was going to learn through this that the offspring wasn't going to come through natural descendants. It was going to be a spiritual thing. Isaac was going to be literally raised from the dead. God was going to do something supernatural. It's an incredible passage. And here we have this picture of God the Father that's pointing ahead to the picture of God the Father offering up his own son Jesus on exactly the same hill centuries later. But the only difference is with Jesus, the Father went through with it. And Jesus was slaughtered on the cross for our sins. He didn't hold back. He didn't withdraw the knife. Jesus died and tasted death for everyone, the Bible says. But Isaac is going through this test, and I want us to catch the gravity of this. I want us to catch the impact of it. And it's also a picture, if I can just say this as a detour, it's a picture of fathering and sonship. As I was meditating on this passage, it's really a picture of a father walking with a son. And I really would encourage us in these days, it's something God's given us as a church, this thing of mentoring and this thing of fathers and sons walking together is so critical. It's what this nation needs. As we've said over and over. And so I would encourage you as a father or a mother in the Lord, pick up folk that you can disciple and you can walk with. And younger generation, please walk with someone that's older than you. Walk with them. Abraham had a tremendous impact on Isaac. There was an anointing that came off his life on Isaac. Imagine hanging around Abraham for a while. And he followed his dad and he learned from his dad. And later on, Isaac became the next patriarch. And Isaac was the one through whom the promises came. But let's get back to this test. Why does God put us through tests? Why does God allow us to go through struggle and suffering sometimes? The Bible says in James chapter 1, count it all joy, my brothers. I'm still working on this verse. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And steadfastness must have its full effect so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So God wants to mature us. He doesn't want to just leave us where we are. He saved you as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you as you are. And you will find that tests and troubles will mature you like nothing else. Even Jesus was made perfect through suffering. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And we have to go through some stuff. God uses suffering to grow you and to mature you. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. God does that. And you'll only know, listen carefully, you'll only know what you're going to do in a situation when you have to do it. You can sit in a classroom all day and work out what your game plan's going to be, but it's only when you're facing the test that you'll get to know about yourself and you'll get to know God. You'll learn more about God. And that's what happened with Abraham. And so Abraham wasn't just willing to be obedient, he was obedient. He trusted the Lord. And we need to be like that. It's something I'm still learning. Amen. So often the church is on the edge of obedience, just waiting for more information. And we mustn't always just wait for more information. We must learn to be obedient and trust the Lord. And so what should you remember during a trial of faith? I'm going to give you a few points this morning to help you to go deeper in your faith. I said to Lee was panicking a little bit, it sounded like in his voice. And that's an abscess on his hand, by the way. It wasn't his fingernails he chewed down to the bandage. And when I phoned him before he went in, I said to him, just write a few things down and remember the main points when you go into the exam. I don't know if he did that. And so this morning, I want to give you a few points. What should you remember when you face a trial? What should you remember when you go through a time of suffering? Number one, remember the character of God, even though the situation seems confusing or unpleasant. Go back to the character of God. Go back to what you remember about the Lord. Because sometimes we go through things that don't make sense to us. Abraham was going through something that didn't make sense to him. And sometimes we have to obey the Holy Spirit when we don't have all the details. And sometimes we want all the details. So, no, Lord, you've got to show me. Where am I going? Which mountain is it? How are you going to rescue Isaac? We don't know those things. He doesn't tell us. He just says, I want you to do this. I want you to take the first step. That's what faith is. We're walking by faith. And sometimes we don't have all the details. And so what you need to do, you need to stop and remember what you know about the goodness and the greatness of God. Can you say amen? You need to stop at a point like that. And you need to apply it right there. You need to say to yourself, how has God dealt with me these last 25 years? Has he been good or not? Has he rescued me or not? Has he answered prayers or not? You talk to yourself. You don't just listen to yourself. You ask yourself about the character of God. You keep trusting and obeying even when you're battling. Amen. A couple of faith warriors here this morning. And listen to this carefully. You give to God an integrity that doesn't match appearances. God appeared to be disloyal. God appeared to be doing something that just didn't make sense. And you've got to, in a sense, not believe that and hold on to the character of God. Abraham received a righteousness from God, listen carefully, that he didn't deserve. And Abraham, in return, gave God an integrity he didn't understand. And if you really want to mature in your faith, you need to say, God's doing something right now I don't understand. God's doing something now I can't work out. But I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to give him an integrity of character that doesn't match up with my circumstances. That is mature faith. That's what Abraham did. You do to God what God has done to you. God saved you while he was still a sinner. God blessed you while you were still a scabenga. God saved you while you were still lost. And it doesn't make sense. Justification by faith doesn't make sense. If we were in a court of law and someone was guilty of murder and all sorts of crimes, and the judge said, you know what? I'm going to release you today. I just feel like releasing you. You can go home. Bye. Thanks. Case dismissed. Go home. How would we feel? We'd say this judge has lost his brains. He shouldn't be a judge. How can you declare a guilty man innocent? It violates our common sense. This judge shouldn't be a judge anymore. But God does that to us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God says, you know what? I'm forgiving you. You know what? There's no condemnation. You know what? You're free to go. It offends you. It offends the mind. You think, how can this happen? God does that because of what Jesus has done for you. And when you see that, then you say, you know what? I'm going through a situation I don't understand. I'm going to do to God what God's done to me. I'm going to give God an integrity that my circumstances don't match up to. And we begin to walk by faith, not by sight or by understanding. There's some things, beloved, you can't reason your way through. There's some things in the Christian life you can't work out. You can't work it out. Because sometimes what God is doing is hidden. God likes to work in a hidden way. We'll see that over Easter. Just as he did in the cross. He sent Christ as a Savior. They said, the Savior's here, the Savior's here. He's come to save the Israel from their sins. A great light has dawned. And then the next thing, he's dying on a cross as a condemned criminal. And the disciples scatter. God does something that you think, but the promises and Jesus and the angel and God does something that's just completely the opposite. Sometimes God does things opposite. Abraham was saying, you've given me Isaac, now you're taking him away. But the Bible says Abraham thought about it. And he went back to the character of God. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, he considered that God was even able to raise Isaac from the dead. He said, I don't know what God's doing here, but he can raise him from the dead. God can do anything. And so he didn't ignore the facts. It says in Hebrews, well, he's faced the facts, but he still trusted the Lord. Hallelujah. The harp of faith, boys, they don't want to face the facts. No, you're not sick. Nothing wrong with you. I'm coughing. I'm sick. No, you're not sick. Just trust God. No, we need to face the facts. I'm sick. But we still trust the Lord. We face the facts and we trust the Lord. And that's what he did. Abraham thought God's not being disloyal. He's up to something else. I don't understand it right now, but I'm going to trust his character. You trust his character. And friends, that's what's needed in these days like never before. Michael Eaton says, you use spiritual logic. You say, God gave me these promises. God has all power. God's promises never fail. God will make a way. You talk to yourself. And Abraham did that. He said to his servants, we're going to go out there and worship, and we're coming back. He said to his son, God will provide a lamb. Don't worry, Isaac. And he said to himself, if Isaac dies, God will raise him from the dead. I mean, it's incredible. And so, friends, when it comes to Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Martin Luther said, faith enables you to see past the visible in front of you and see what God is doing behind it all. Earthly wisdom sees visible things and understands, but faith sees the invisible and perceives that God is up to something else. Hallelujah. And faith is something you see with the eyes of your heart. You don't see with these eyes. You believe with your heart. Inside you, you believe, no, I'm trusting God, even though my circumstances are different. Hallelujah. And that's what Abraham did. He walked by faith. Hallelujah. And he came through. And just as he was about to bring down that knife, God said, stop, stop, now I know. Now I know. And it was like Isaac was raised from the dead. And so we need to learn from these things. We need to learn to trust the character of God. Friends, let me tell you this. You can trust. There's one thing in the universe you can trust. There's nothing else you can trust. Nothing else is permanent. Nothing else is trust. The thing you can trust is the character of God. That's our foundation. That's our sure and certain hope. That's the anchor for us. So you can trust the character of God. And you work backwards from His character. You won't be able to work it all out. You trust His character. Secondly, remember to obey God because you love Him. Faith generates obedience. It's my second point. Just do what God says, what you feel the next step is. Just follow God. God loves that. Just put God first. It's a great safeguard. Ask yourself, what does God want here? Not what I want. What does God want? Okay, let me just do what God wants, and I'll trust Him to work it out. Thirdly, remember God is with you. Even when you don't feel He is. Because sometimes we feel the absence of God. You don't always feel God. You don't always feel God is with you. That's why we need to walk by faith. But we need to remember that God is watching over us. Hallelujah. As He brought that knife down at the last second, the angel said, Abraham, Abraham. So yes, he says, don't do this. God was watching every step. God was watching every second of the journey. God is watching over our lives. And sometimes you may feel abandoned by God like Jesus did. But those are the times God is especially at work in your life. He's close. He's near. And your faith is being developed. He's holding back a little bit. He's hiding a little bit sometimes. So you may grow your faith. You may step out in faith. And finally, remember that God's purpose is, said this already, to bless and grow you and be glorified through the trials you experience. You mature. You develop. You grow. You come into a greater measure of blessing. You begin to reap the rewards of your faith. God says, I'm taking an oath. I'm swearing by myself. I will surely bless you, Abraham. Hallelujah. And you begin to inherit the promises of God. And Abraham's called a friend of God because he puts his faith into action. James calls it being justified by faith. Faith produces good works. And God says, I'm going to call you my friend. I'm going to share my secrets with you, Abraham. And he walks with God. And a blessing comes down on his life like never before. Hallelujah. And Abraham himself, he learns new things about God. He says, God, you are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You might find God's given new names by you through different situations you go through. He says, you're Jehovah. Look, there's a ram. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider. Hallelujah. And also through it all, he gets a glimpse through the centuries. He gets a glimpse somehow that one day God's going to do this again through His Son Jesus. It says in John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Somehow Abraham saw, God, this whole thing is more than just me and Isaac. There's something God's going to do to save the whole world. Jesus said he saw something through that. And he opened it up. Hallelujah. And so friends, that's how God works in our lives. He works to take you to a higher level of blessing. a higher level of faith, but it often comes through suffering and through difficulty. Teaching that says Jesus suffered so we don't have to suffer is false teaching. He did the main suffering. He atoned for our sins, but we have to walk in his footsteps. And you have to go through some suffering and difficulty. And that's how you find God in a deeper way. Because listen carefully, God has chosen suffering to reveal himself in suffering. Because it's only when you go through difficulties, you stop relying on yourself and your situation and your bank account. You say, well, it's come down to this. I'm afraid I've got to just trust God now. Yeah, absolutely. It's now just trusting God. And God does that in our lives. There are times in your life you'll go through things. You'll say, it's just me and Jesus. And as you trust him, as you put your faith in him, you'll find he comes through and you will grow. Hallelujah. And you'll move from just knowing how you were saved to knowing God himself. And that's what I want in my life. I just don't want to know how I got saved. I want to know God. I want to know him. I want to know how he's dealing. What is he doing? What's he saying? You get to know God himself. And God brings you into greater, greater blessing. And people around you are impacted. The nations were impacted by Abraham. And friends, when we begin to walk like this, it has relevance not just for your life and family, the places we work. People will come to you. People will ask you for stuff. People say, won't you pray? You'll be stable in the midst of chaos. You'll be like Jesus. You'll be stable in the midst of chaos because we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And you'll be a man and woman of faith. You'll have learned some lessons that you'll be able to help others in. You'll become a disciple of faith. Hallelujah. Abraham learned those things through severe tests and struggles. But God was with him. God blessed him. He was obedient. He didn't have all the details. And he began to reap a blessing he never had before. He was taken to a higher level. God blessed him in a bigger way. And God wants to do that in our lives at this time. There are people in this church, you've been through a few things. You think, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Trust God. Trust God. And you will find God will strengthen you. And God will help you. Just obey him. Just obey him. Just trust him. Don't lean on other things. Don't sin. Don't give in to temptation. Don't make a plan. You will know in your heart when you're doing the wrong thing. You'll feel it. Just trust him. Abraham didn't have a little goat in his saddlebags, a lamb, just plan B. There was no plan B. He was just walking with God. And God rescued him. God's not mean. God doesn't test us because he's got a twisted character. He does it because he loves us. He wants to mature our faith. He wants to put our names in the hall of fame. And one day, when we get to heaven, we'll find Hebrews 11 is a lot longer. There are other names there, alongside Jephthah and Samson and David and others. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, friends, I hope you're encouraged by this word today. I hope this has put some strength into you. We'd love to pray for people this morning. Perhaps you've been going through a few things. So, man, this has helped me. But I want to step out. I want to be obedient. We want to pray for you this morning. Amen? We want to learn from our father Abraham, the man of faith. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Amen.